Hi, welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad to have you join us today. If today is your first time, we invite you to fill out our Connect card so we can connect with you and get to know you better. Also, if you have any prayer requests, we also invite you to fill out our Connect card so we can pray for you. Before we start our worship, I have a couple of announcements for you. As we look forward to worshiping together in person, please know that today is our last online worship service. On April 16th, we'll be starting a new series on the Book of Acts, so join us as we take a deeper dive into the formation of the early church. Also, as we look forward to worshiping together in person, we are in need of servants on the site, the guests, and production team. So please fill out the servant application form to help serve. Lastly, I would like to invite you to join us on April 16th at 6:45 at Fraserview MB Church as we worship together in person. So hope to see you there. Before we sing praises to God, let us prepare our hearts for worship by reading from Psalm 103, 8-12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being merciful and so gracious towards us. Thank you for dying for us, for our sins on the cross, so that we may have a closer relationship with you. Thank you for loving us so much and caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and worship our God.
so loved the
Church, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we praise you for you are the bright morning star. We praise you as you are the one who brings light, shine out of darkness. So Lord, enable us to follow you and reflect your glory and goodness in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. People say there are two kinds of people in the world. People who make a difference and people who make excuses. The question is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person who makes the world better? Or are you the kind of person who want to be, who leave behind excuses and regret in your life? Welcome back as we're wrapping up the series called Excuses. For the past 3 weeks, we have been exploring how our life has been affected by many lies and excuses that we have made. At the beginning of the series, Pastor Jeff reminds us that the root of an excuse is blaming something internal, which is usually fear of some kind, to something external. King Saul, from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, made excuses for his disobedience and lack of faith. He blamed his behavior on his fleeing soldier, on the army, the Philistine enemy, and also on Samuel the prophet, who was late when he was supposed to meet him. Saul was blaming something internal, his disobedience, his lack of faith, on something external, the soldier, the enemy, and God's prophet. So this is the root of excuses. And our second session, using the story of Saul again, Wayne helped us to dig deeper into excuses. We dignify our excuses and call them reason. You remember? We justify our action because we have our reason. And we ended up disguising our excuses as reason. When making excuses become a habit, the lies and excuses will become not just something peripheral, but our king, actually. From the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was charged by the Lord to destroy the Amalekites, the enemies. Saul thought that he was obeying the Lord, but he didn't realize that his wanting to please the people, the Israelite people, actually caused him to disobey the Lord when he didn't follow God's instruction to the word. At the end, sadly, because of his repeated disobedience, not just in this story, but the story before that as well, God removed his title as King of Israel. And unfortunately, it is not just Saul's problem long time ago. Internal reason, which is always about fear or some kind, often prevent us from following Jesus fully. They also prevent us from experiencing God in a more complete sense as well. Last week, Priscilla shared about missing out, you remember? If we fail to identify our excuses, it may actually cause us to miss out on important things in life. Our excuses would cause us to hide behind our fears. Our excuses would even cause us to miss out on God's will and purpose for our life. In the parable of the talents, because of his fear of failure, the third servant chose to play safe and bury the talent in the ground. This decision caused the third servant to miss out the original intention, the plan from his master. And sadly, at the end of the story, he was called by his master a wicked and slothful servant. As I look back, I can definitely echo about that as well. Because of fear of failure, time and again in my life as well, I have created tons of excuses in my own life of not trying out, of not stepping up. And eventually, that become moments of regret in my own life as well. So you see, excuses are never just something peripheral, something trivial in our life. Making excuses cost Saul his title as the first king of Israel. Making excuses cost the servant in the parable not just his job, but his entire destiny. Yes, the cost is really high. And what about you? What have you been missing out by making excuses? If you don't identify your excuses, you excuse your life away. If you don't identify your excuses, you excuse your life away. So, is there a way out? Is there a way out? Or are we just get stuck in the excuses for our whole life? How do we deal with all those excuses that we have made? And how do we break through the excuses that have been holding us back for not just 1 year, but almost all of our life? And based on what we have learned for the past few weeks, let me highlight 5 steps that we have been sharing along this series. 5 steps of breaking through the excuses that have been holding us back. 5 steps of breaking through. Step one, catch yourself doing it. Identify them. Catch all those excuses. Whenever we disguise our excuses as reasons, we'll give out a lot of because. You remember how Wayne shared about that, right? I can because. I could because. I won't because. I opt out because. I don't exercise because. I skip church because. I quit church because. So beware and listen to all your becauses. And when you catch yourself, when you are becausing, take some time to take a note and even to write it down on a piece of paper or in your notebook or something so that you remember how the excuses were happening. Step two, you need to interrogate your excuses. You need to interrogate your excuses. Whenever you are giving out excuses, you need to ask yourself some hard question. You need to ask yourself, why do I opt out for that particular because? You need to ask yourself, why do I make that excuse whenever that topic came up or whenever that part of my past of life came up? You need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of or who am I afraid of? You ask yourself, am I just being insecure? Is this something I know I ought to do, but instead I give other becauses? And make sure you don't just ask questions, answer them. Give yourself time to answer this question. Because your answer will clarify whether or not it is an actual reason which could be happening, or is it just a make-up reason? So you need to distinguish about that. When you identify the fear within, when you ask questions about your excuses, the power of that particular excuse will be reduced. Anytime you bring an excuse into light, not hiding behind, right? The excuse will get smaller and weaker. The excuse will start making less sense and you have more strength to overcome it. Step three, is there a command that I need to follow from the Lord? Instead of following your own heart, your fear in your heart, you choose to follow the Lord's command. Even though sometimes it may not be very easy, but often the Lord's command are not complicated. Stand firm. Take heart. Do good. Rejoice. Have faith. Walk in the light. Run the race with perseverance. Sometimes, even though it might not be written word by word from the Lord, you just do what pleases God and honor Him the most. Step number four, remember God's purpose for you. Remember God has a specific good purpose for you. And instead of spending all the energy making up and hiding behind all the excuses and lies, instead of letting the excuses become your king, your center, remember, God is actually your real king and He has a good purpose for each of us. Yes, you have been entrusted with a purpose and God delights in you and He has given you ability to fulfill the purpose. At this step, you can also ask yourself the following question. What will I lose if I believe in my own lies? What will I miss out if I continue to make excuses? Step number five. Instead of making this only between you and God, tell somebody that you are going to renounce the excuses and lie. Tell somebody. Let's not forget that we are part of a faith community. You are not just following God by yourself. Let's keep one another accountable. Find a pastor or a Christian friend and share about your decision as well. So, here are the five steps for breaking through the excuses that have been holding us back. Catch yourself doing it. Interrogate your excuses. A command that I need to follow. God has a good purpose for you. And then tell somebody about your decision to renounce the lies and excuses. And let's remember, if you don't identify the excuses, you excuse your life away. If you don't identify your excuses, you excuse your life away. And perhaps after all these four sessions about excuses, you will tell me, okay, I got it. Yeah, all these things make sense. Five steps or whatever, right? I could hear a yes, but behind the yes, I also hear a but. Yes, but. Perhaps you would tell me, yes, thanks for letting me know everything about excuses. You know, four sessions, that's a lot of material, but that seems quite impossible. I don't think anyone can do it. The price is just too high. I know it up here, but I don't think I can actually do it or put it into practice. Okay, let's take one step backward. You say you cannot do it, right? Is it really because it is too hard? Ask yourself, is there anything deep down that you are afraid of? And perhaps we are facing the ultimate excuse. In the Bible, let's take a look at Luke 18. Jesus told a story about a rich ruler. The rich man was asking Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Then Jesus told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me." I'm sure you heard about the story, right? The Bible told us that he became very sad, this ruler, because he was very wealthy. Well, quite obvious, he was sad because he got too much money and he doesn't want to give any away. And those who heard about this have asked, "Who then can be saved?" And then Jesus answered in Luke 18:27, "What is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God." The ruler was sad because he was very wealthy. Yes, the because looks real. It was not easy, but it is not impossible. Thank God, the Bible did not just quote Jesus saying or talking about this possibility. Following chapter 18, actually Luke immediately shared another story, the story of a different rich person, a rich professional called Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses, we met Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector at Jericho who sought Jesus. As we all know, tax collectors were rich. They collected tax from the Jews on behalf of the Roman Empire. And most of the time, they collected more or much more than what they were supposed to be. And this is how they make them rich in an unjust way. And that is why most people hated tax collectors. So you can imagine that, right? So let's take a look at what happened that day at Jericho. Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. So that was the beginning of the story. Zacchaeus, yeah, he was short, he was small, and instead of standing in front of the crowd, he chose to keep a distance from the people. You know why? Because I'm sure nobody wanted to see him around, you know, especially in the front. So most people don't like him. So now up on the tree, Zacchaeus was able to wait for Jesus passing by, and then here comes the encounter. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. If you were Zacchaeus, you probably would be surprised by Jesus' invitation, right? What? Come to my house? You, Jesus, you're a good master, staying at a tax collector home? Are you sure you want to do that? And when the people saw what happened and heard what happened, they all grumbled. You know why? What? Jesus and Zacchaeus, you know, they are mingling? No way. Jesus has gone to the guest of a sinner. That's not good. That's not a good thing for Jesus, right? And let's imagine, over the conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus could have told Jesus, "I'm rich, you know, for all the years I collect money, you know, now I'm a chief tax collector, you know, which is some big accomplishment, right? I'm rich, but I'm not happy. Master, is there a way out? Is there a way I can change my life?" And Zacchaeus probably even know how Jesus would reply, right? He would understand the problem is not about the money, but it's about his job as a tax collector. The way he handled money was the main problem. If we were Zacchaeus, just imagine, after so many years of living in such a lifestyle, I'm sure he got what he wanted, right? We probably could offer tons of excuses. "Well, Jesus, it was nice to meet you today at Jericho, right? You're a great preacher. I like your teaching, but I guess I'm not ready to make any changes in my life yet. It is not the right time. I am sorry about that. You know, I'm working for the Roman Empire, and it's hard to change the system, right? You know, I'm just one tax collector. The system can't change, be changed overnight. And you know, the tax season is coming. I'm too busy." Zacchaeus could have just given Jesus tons and tons of excuses and go back to his tax booth and stay the same for the rest of his life. But to our surprise, Zacchaeus made a decision. He offered not excuses, but recompenses. Zacchaeus offered not excuses, but recompenses. And after he came down, Zacchaeus made a declaration to the other people so that they can hear that. "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give it to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' If you were one of those who were grumbling, how would you react? Would you be surprised by his move? Would you be surprised by what is just said from Zacchaeus? What? A chief tax collector at Jericho is giving half of his good to the poor. Wow, that's impossible. What? A chief tax collector just told people that if he had cheated anybody out of anything, he would pay back not just the same amount, but four times of that amount. No way. It's too good to be true. I won't believe that. Maybe it's some kind of spam, maybe? Yes, for Zacchaeus, it was not an easy decision. But when he met Jesus, He knew that was the right thing to do. That was the right thing to do. In Luke 19, Luke was validating Jesus' saying with a true story about Zacchaeus. Yes, it was difficult for those who have wealth to enter God's kingdom. But what is impossible to man is possible with God. And God's salvation and God's forgiveness has come to the house of a chief tax collector at Jericho, which was a real, real story, right? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost at Jericho. While Zacchaeus has been labeled as a sinner by those people who grumble, Jesus affirmed his true identity. Zacchaeus, your label has changed. You are a son of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham. So, if you don't identify your excuses, you excuse your life away. Isn't that true? When Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, he did not hide behind his excuses. Even though it was not easy, he offered not excuses, but recompenses. Now, we all know this truth right here, but are you willing to really dwell in this truth and live out this truth? As we conclude our series, let me extend an invitation to you. Today, let's ask God for one thing. Just as how Zacchaeus came down from the tree and welcomed Jesus gladly, I invite you to welcome Jesus to your heart. I welcome Jesus to your heart. And let God's presence do a replacement, to replace the fear, to replace the greed, to replace the lust or whatever darkness that compels you to make excuses for yourself. Our excuses, whether they are big or small, should not be our king, should not be controlling us. Let's really take a stand and choose to leave them behind. Let me close with a word of prayer. Let's pray. The Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always rebuke, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgression from us. Dear God, we acknowledge that all through our life, we often hide behind the excuses. We live in lies we tell ourselves. But today, I know this is going nowhere. So Lord, help me. Deliver me from this dead end. This morning, Lord, just as how Zacchaeus received Jesus in his life, I also want to open my heart and welcome you. I ask for your healing presence to be with me and replace the fear, the greed, the lust, and whatever darkness that compels me to make excuse for myself. Dear God, at this moment, I cling to your promise. I cling to your faithfulness. Forgive my sins and purify me from all righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And now, church, let's stand for the benediction. I'll be using the benediction from the book of Jude in the New Testament to bless you. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forevermore. Amen. As we conclude our worship this morning, let me encourage you to support and participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And just a reminder, after going virtual for more than 2 years, today's service will be our last English online service. Starting next Saturday, we'll gather in person at Fraserville at 6:45 p.m. every Saturday evening. So now go in peace, church, and look forward to worship with you in person next week.